podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Good morning. Thanks. I'm glad that you're here this morning. I hope that whatever is said will bless you and will speak to your heart. Because ultimately, I believe that is the most important thing. Clint said that visual aids help, so my visual aids are you. So take a look around. You're the visual aid this morning. You'll figure that in a minute. But here's my question for you this morning. What comes to your mind when I say the words periodic checkup? My hope would be when I say periodic checkup, those of you that are parents of young children, or my mom, would think of doctor's appointments or having to rush your kid to the hospital because they're not the smartest. But then the other, what comes to your mind when I say an everyday inspection? Those of you that are moms and work at home, you probably think of cleaning the house. Youth, you probably think of hearing your parents tell you to clean your room. Those of you that drive cars, you probably think of having to have your car inspected to be able to use it. What if I say standard review? Young people, you probably think of exams, midterms, or finals. And then what happens if I say a standard observation? Those of you that are employed may think of a job review or having to be evaluated. But the question that I have for you this morning is, what comes to your mind when I say routine maintenance checkup? My hope is that what comes to your mind when I say those words is the wonderful piece of mechanics that got you here this morning, your car. Yes, I'm going to talk to you about the beautiful thing called your car this morning and how that relates to the person that God has called you to be. So this morning, how are you like a car? If you have your Bibles, if you'll open them to Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. We'll read, and as you turn there, I hope that we can all agree that a vehicle, a car, whether it's a car or a truck, is important to your daily life. Because let's be honest, a car is how you get to that doctor's appointment that you have to go to. A car is how you get to school to take that exam that you have to take. A car is how you get to that job for those observations. So my hope is that we can all agree that a car is important to who we are and what we do. As long as we agree on that, we're good. Psalms 119, 9 through 16 says this: how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to have your word to guide us and to lead us, God. And I pray that these next few moments, as we look at what your word has to say, God, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would speak in spite of me, God. More of you and less of me, God. Open our hearts and soften our hearts to what you have to say. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So this year was an amazing year for me. I got to do something that I've never done before, and that is I got to purchase a car without having to have a parent's signature. Yes, it took a while, but you know, it happens. I got to buy a car for the first time, just myself. My name is the only name on that piece of paper. Thank you, Jesus. But more importantly, when it comes to that car, I got to buy a car that wasn't already 10 years old. You have to understand, my first car was a 1994 Jeep Cherokee, and that was in 2002. And it had a whole bunch of miles. And then my second car was a Chrysler Concord, 1994. It was a boat, and that was my sophomore year of college. So that's a 2006. And then my third car was a Honda Civic, 1995, and that was in 2008. All three of those vehicles were not what you would call in their prime, as all of them had over 100,000 miles. And one of them has just hit 200,000 miles. So this car was not only just my first car, but rather this car was a 2010 model, and it had, well, it was a teenager. It had under 20,000 miles. So I was excited, and I got a great deal. And with that, as we've all already stated, a car is important. And I realized that, so I said, all right, we're going to, you know, all the bells and whistles when it comes to protecting my investment. And so what I did is I signed up for the extended warranty package, which covers my car from bumper to bumper, inside, outside, everything you can think of, until it hits 75,000 miles, or until, you know, 5 years, which is, 75 is probably going to happen first, but anyway. And that was cool. I was like, yes, you know, pay a little more, but I'm protected. It's no worries. What I did not know is that with that comes these little pieces of mail every so often. And they come from the Dodge dealership, and they are what you call routine maintenance checkups. And on these pieces of mail is kind of what needs to be done to make sure that your car is in good functioning order. So I received a piece of mail like this here recently. And on that piece of paper it said, you've got three things that we need to do to make sure that your car is healthy. First, we need to check your brakes. We might even need to change your brakes. Secondly, we need to rotate your tires and balance them out. And then third, it's time for an oil change. And I was like, sweet, great, awesome. But the first thing that it said was, hey, we need to check your brakes. Possibly even change your brakes. The average consumer, whatever it is, they will tell you to have your brakes checked. Where's that at? Every 6 months? Every 6 months. Have your brakes checked. Make sure that they're in working order. The picture that you see in front of you is a picture of, on the left, a brake that has no brake pad left on it. And then on the right, a brake that has, you know, a lot of substance left to it. There is an importance in your brakes, okay? Here's why those brake pads are important. Boom. Pick the most graphic one. But anyway, if your brakes are not in check, if your brakes are not in working order, then that is potentially what could take place. There's an importance in changing your brakes. Brakes are a small part of your car, but brakes are what allow you to come from whatever speed you drive to a complete stop in a matter of seconds. There is a small pedal, your brake pedal, in your car that when you get to a red light, hopefully, you press to stop. And but also, when that car in front of you unexpectedly stops and you can slam on that brake, that's what protects you. It's a small piece of that massive vehicle, but yet it has great control over the car. I like to look at the brakes of the car as being the brain. So when it comes to the brakes of a car, they are like your brain. Your brain is a small component of your body. But ultimately, your brain has great control over what you do, what you say, what you think. Your brain controls where you go, what you think, how you go about getting to where you're going, and what you're thinking. Your brain is vital to your body. Just like brakes in a car can wear out, as that one picture showed, your brain can lose focus on who it is you're called to be. Your brain spiritually can lose focus on what it is that you're called to do. So I believe that just like your car has to have, you know, the brakes checked up, I believe that we spiritually, as Christians, need to have a spiritual brake check on our brain. And we need to make sure that our thoughts and our motives for what we're doing are aligned with what God has called us to do. Because ultimately, that's why we're here. The second thing that the routine maintenance checkup from the Dodge dealership says, it says, Daniel, it's time for you to rotate your tires. Tires are not cheap. I mean, to me, tires are not cheap, but then those who know me know that I'm cheap. But anyway, tires are not cheap, and the importance in rotating your tires is to give them the longest lifespan possible. So basically, you're supposed to rotate your tires every 3,000 to 6,000 miles. Why is that? Because the front tires will wear out before the back tires, right? And if your front tires wear out, where's that? Oh, that's not up there yet. There we go. There it is, tires. On the left, you have a worn-out tire. On the right, you have a semi-new tire. What happens is when you get to a worn-out tire on the front, those brakes are having to work harder and therefore are wearing themselves out quicker. When it comes to your brakes, I believe that your brakes on your car are like your arms and your legs. What do I mean by that? Your arms and your legs. Your arms and your legs are your tires, or how you get places. But ultimately, we the church are made up of a bunch of people, which means that there is a whole ton of a mess of arms and legs. But what happens, church, is when we let two tires, do all the work, and we sit back and do nothing, what happens is those front tires, those people that are doing everything, burn out. And those brake pads run thin. And that train of thought as to what God has called me to do is lost. As the arms and the legs, we need to make sure that we are constantly looking out for each other. There's a verse that says, Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." We're called to be like iron. So when it comes to the tires of a car, we rotate them, especially if you're like me, every 3,000 miles to make sure that I get my full value. And as a church, as a body of believers, we must make sure that we rotate and we look out for each other to make sure that not one person is, you know, doing everything and wearing out. Because as iron sharpens iron is what we're called to be. We're called to work together. Another verse, which is my favorite, is Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, which says this, "Two are better than one because they have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken." As the tires of a car work together, they all go in the same motion. We, as the arms and legs, need to work together to make sure that no one is wearing thin, that no one is beyond their exhaustion point, about to burn out. The third thing that my inspection, my routine maintenance checkup piece of mail tells me is, "Daniel, it is time for you to have an oil change." The market would like for you to think that you should have your oil changed every 3,000 miles, but between every 3,000 and 5,000 miles is when you're supposed to have your oil changed. And there is a vital purpose to that. Your engine is the most important part of your car because, after all, it is what makes your car move. On the screen before you, you have up on the top, you have a dirty, old, rusted engine. There's no telling how far, how many miles that engine has gone or how many oil changes it's had. And on the bottom, you have a brand new engine that hasn't even been placed in a car, but it's perfectly clean. And the point behind an oil change for your car is to take out the dirty oil, to clean it out, put in new oil, to make sure that your engine is running smoothly. This morning, I believe that the engine of a car is like the heart of a person. And just like an engine needs oil to function smoothly, your heart needs God. Your heart needs the Bible. Your heart needs prayer. Your heart needs a devotion life. Your heart needs fellowship with other believers to make sure that you're going the way you're supposed to. When you have an engine and it's running on dirty oil, it doesn't run as smoothly as it could. And what happens is when you have a heart that's spiritually not being fed, you're not running as smoothly as you should. So you get an oil change, they take out all the oil, they put in new oil, you're back to good, your engine runs, you're good to go. Your heart needs the same thing. Your heart needs to have that oil changed, needs to constantly be in the Word, needs to constantly be in prayer, needs to constantly be in fellowship with other believers. This weekend, I had a bunch of friends down for the weekend to celebrate. And while they were here, one of my friends arrived Friday afternoon, parked their car, and did not get back in their car till Monday because we used my new car. And we went places. Monday morning came, and it was time for them to leave. They got in their car, they turned their key, and nothing happened. I am not a mechanic by any sense of the mean, but by the sounds it made, I knew it wasn't the battery, because I had had issues with that. I knew it wasn't the starter, because I had had issues with that. But I had no idea what it was, so it was like, well, you know, pop the hood. Let's give it a look. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. thanks, Dad. I didn't know what I was doing at all. When my other friend was like, well, let's check the oil. Oh, okay. So they take, you know, they take out the dipstick, you wipe it clean, you stick the dipstick back in, pull it out, and to my surprise, that dipstick came out the same way that it went in. That engine had no oil. So we hopped in my new car, and we went down, and we got oil, the exact one it needed, the exact amount it needed, and it took every last drop of it. That engine, that's what it was like, ooh, yeah. No, but that engine took everything. That engine was completely empty. By the grace of God, turned the key, you know, and after a little bit of pumping of the gas, it started to work. Friend got home safely. But if you did not know, if you do not place oil in your engine may lock up and quit working. Most of you know that. But think of it this way. If you do not put prayer, the Word, devotion, fellowship with believers, your heart will spiritually lock up and quit working. So this morning, when you look at these three things, when it comes to brakes, comes to tires, comes to oil change, it comes to your brain, your arms and your legs, and your heart. And making sure that they're all in check. But on top of this, when it comes to your heart, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. Always be in prayer. What is prayer after all? Prayer is just talking to God. So constantly be talking to God. Always be talking to God. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. This morning I was anxious and nervous. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not worry about anything, but in prayer, present it to God. And when do we pray? Always. That is one of the ways to make sure that that heart of yours is spiritually running as smoothly as it could be. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because from it is where life comes from. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. So how do you get a pure heart? Always pray. Pray without ceasing. Stay in the Word. Fellowship with other believers. Iron sharpens iron. We are called to do the same. But more importantly, you can't even get to what we've just discussed if we use the illustration of this wonderful piece of mail from the Dodge company that comes to me in my mail every so often. We can't even get there if when that piece of mail comes, and Dodge, okay, garbage. Fun part is God has given you the same thing. Here it is, piece of mail. Garbage. There are fundamental things that we need to do when it comes to the Bible. God has offered you the keys to making sure that you function properly. And they're in here. And they don't come in the mail. They're just probably sitting on your dresser. But when they come in the mail, what do? First step is you got to read the Bible to be wise. Read the Bible to be wise. So when that piece of mail comes in the mail, there's a decision that is placed before you. Okay, is this junk mail? Or is there something of importance in this? Am I going to choose and open this? Or am I going to throw this away? And if you choose to open this, when you read it, are you going to believe what it has to say? The second thing is you got to believe what it says to be safe. So God has said, here is the word, here's my word. In it is everything that you need. This is your routine maintenance checkup guide. If you will open and you will read and you will believe what you read, then we'll be good. Your car will function. Your heart will function the way I have intended for it to function. But a lot of us will open it and we'll read it to be wise, but we won't believe what it has to say. So it's like opening the piece of mail. I don't know if this helps, but it does me. You open the piece of mail, and oh, I need to have my brakes checked, my oil changed, and my tires written. No, I really don't. I can go another 5,000 miles. I'm good. It's like opening the Word of God and knowing that God is speaking to you from His Word and saying, you know what? Not now. Now's not the time. I'm good. I can go another 2 months. It's like taking that dipstick, putting it in, checking your oil, putting it back in, and knowing that something is wrong, whether it's you're empty of oil or your oil is nasty, dirty, and corroding your engine, but saying, I can still drive another 3,000 miles. I'm good. But then, once you opened it, if you choose to believe what it says, you must practice it to be holy. So you open that piece of mail. You see, hey, it's time for this. Okay, I need to do that. I'm going to take it in. Let them do the change. You open the Word of God. And in your daily devotion, God speaks to you. And tells you something. Hey, convicts you on something that you need to do better. Or you need to change. Or you need to try harder on. You got to practice that. You got to say, okay, all right, I'm ready to change, God. I'm ready to be the man or the woman that you have called me to be. This morning, whether you knew it or not, because you didn't get a piece of mail, this morning, I like to think of this as being your routine maintenance checkup. Spiritually speaking, I hope that you are spiritually aware that it is time for a checkup. You are my visual illustration. It's time for a spiritual checkup. And the importance in that checkup is simple. First off, hey, you got to have your brain. Make sure that your brain and your mind is focused on what God has called you to do, on the person that God has called you to be. You got to make sure that your thoughts are aligned with those of God. Secondly, you are the arms and you are the legs. And as a church, we must work together to make sure that we don't wear a few out and have a whole bunch of brand new tires, but make sure that we are constantly rotating those tires so that we are equally being used. Equally being used here, equally being used in our community, equally being used in this world to share the good news. And then finally, you got to have a check on your heart. You've got to make sure that you are in the Word daily, That's one of those things that I learned from my father. You got to be in the Word. You've got to have a prayer life. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You've got to have a constant, hey, what's up, G-O-D, how you doing? A constant time where you can talk to God. You've got to have this, a fellowship with a body of believers so that you can sharpen each other. You've got to hold each other accountable. You've got to make sure that the oil in your engine is clean and that you are running on all cylinders as smoothly as God intended you to make sure that you are the man, the woman that God wants you to be. See, everyone this morning, I hope we agreed that your car is very important to you and it plays a vital role in your life. We agreed on that. Just as your car is important to you, you are important to God. Just as you have plans for that car, God has plans for you. Just as you want to take that car to these amazing places, just as a ride, God wants to take you to amazing places. But just like, hey, before I'm going to hop in my car and drive it to Florida to see my sister, I'm going to make sure everything works because it would stink to get broke down in Georgia. I have to make sure everything's in check so that my engine is running smoothly, my car is ready to go. We need to make sure that we're running smoothly so that when God says move, we move. When God says, hey, I got something great for you, we're ready. And how do you do all of this? You do all of this by reading the Word, believing what it has to say, and practicing what it teaches. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, thank you for this wonderful morning that you have given us, God. Thank you for your Word and the fact that it is given to us freely, God. That we freely have the manual to make sure that we are up and running properly, God. And I just pray that as a church, as a group of believers, that we would make that choice to open the Word of God and to read what it has to say, to believe what you speak to us through your Word and to put it into practice, God, and just watch the difference that you can make. God, I pray that you would be with each one of these members, God, and with the thoughts that are running through their mind and the things that are going in their hearts, God, I pray that you would continue to tug on their hearts. Continue to help us strive to be running on all cylinders, God, as smoothly as you intended it to be, so that we can be the men and women you've called us to be, God. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you're doing. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As we close this morning and sing from the hymn in hymn 330, the altar is open, and if you have a need to talk to God, if this morning you're like, oh snap, it's time to have a checkup, I encourage you to take the time to come and to talk to God. Pray without ceasing. So that's what I have.